Amen. I've never heard that song before. Precious words. Good morning in Jesus' name. I want to turn a corner a bit this morning and stop talking to you about your parents. Maybe you felt like you've been lectured. I thought about that this morning as I was praying. You know, maybe it felt like one of those lectures that mom and dads give, you know, to the children sometimes. You don't know how good you have it. You know how moms and dads can do that, right? I thought, well, maybe it sounds a little bit like that. And please forgive me. That's not how I mean it. We're aiming much higher. Much higher than that. Shall we stand for the Lord and have a prayer? You pray with me this morning, okay? I need God's help. Father, we do bless you. Yes, we cry out to you this morning, Lord, though the hosts of hell are set against us. We put our hope and our confidence in thee, God, this morning. Yea, though the enemy has come in like a flood, oh God, we are trusting you to lift up a standard against him. Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you this morning for his precious blood. Thank you, Lord, this morning that there's blood on the mercy seat in heaven. And we come boldly, Lord, not proudly, but boldly in need, asking you for grace to help in this time of need. Lord, we all need your grace this morning. I need grace, God, to say what needs to be said. These young people need grace to hear it. So we ask you for grace to help in time of need. Lord, fill us all with the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The title of the message this morning is God's Plan for the Second Generation. As I said already, we're in a sense going to leave your parents behind this morning, although we cannot completely do that because all the scriptures that we're looking at this morning do not leave your parents behind, but the focus is turning here this morning upon you as the second generation. We are going to dream dreams and see visions today. We're going to, by God's grace, lift up the eyes of our heart and look out into the future and see what God the Lord would say unto us about who we are and where we're going and what we're going to do with our life. Yesterday, we looked at some of what you inherited, and it's beautiful to behold. And I was so grateful last evening that Brother Dean just mentioned a bit about godly courtship. That was the last point that I wanted to lay out to you yesterday, but ran out of time, as one of those things that you are inheriting. And I know that you don't know all what that means yet, because you're still sitting here and you're single and you're not married and most of you are not courting. But I'm telling you, the difference between those who have practiced those principles of godly courtship to lay a foundation for marriage and those who did not practice those and entered into marriage with all the baggage that they brought along with them, the difference is night and day. So we looked at some of these beautiful things that you inherited, and we saw where some of us first generation Christians started. And I know that's going to vary between moms and dads, but You know, I just put myself up there below zero and put this little graph on the board as starting below zero, and we speculated on how far the moms and dads have progressed in along that graph there, which represents all the land that you can possess in the land of Canaan. So maybe we started below zero and maybe we made our way up there to three or four, or if perchance through much zeal and desire and much love we made it to five. That's all the farther we made it. We also considered how much further ahead you are as you sit here than where we were as parents when we began. So this morning, my plea to you is, based on that, based on the head start you have in running this Christian race, come, let us reason together this morning. That's what we want to do in the beginning here. We want to reason together. I want to reason with you. I want you to reason in your own mind. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. That's going to be the first verse that we'll read. We're going to be in the Old Testament a bit this morning, but we want to start in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 says these words, and it's Paul is speaking, and he's speaking about his own life, and he's also speaking about Timothy's life, and I believe he's also speaking about your mom and dad's life, and he's also speaking about your life when he says these words, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us in Christ before the world began." These are sobering, yet glorious words. If God did that with us, with purpose, us meaning your moms and your dads, and I do believe that God saved my soul 36 years ago with purpose, with direction. There was something that He wanted me to do, and in that He saved me and called me with such a holy calling, not according to my own works, not according to my own purposes at all, but according to the purposes which He purposed in Christ Jesus for me before the world even began. Now, I don't claim to understand all what that means, except I'll just give you a little insight. We're talking about God. And God is the God of the universe. He is the eternal one. He's the eternal self-existent one. And because He is God, and He is the only God, and He's an eternal God, He can stand in the middle of eternity and look all the way back to the beginning of time, and all the way to the other end, to the end of time, and see eternity way beyond that on both sides, and He can see all that at the same time. And because He can do that, He purposed before the world began that He would have something for me to do if I would yield to the call of God, the call of the gospel upon my life. And 36 years ago, somehow by God's mercy and grace, I heard that voice calling me. Just like the Apostle Paul heard there on the road to Damascus. I heard that voice. And somehow by God's grace, your mom and dad also heard that voice. Young people, if God did that with us, your moms and dads, with purpose, how much more you, the second generation? How much more? I mean, remember, think about it. Reason together. You do your math. Look at that graph again. If I start at a minus 5, and I possess up to 5, and pass that which I possess on to the next generation, don't you think God would have something for that person to do who received all those beautiful things? I mean, God is very wise. He knows what He's doing. And in a sense, when God saved my soul 36 years ago, He wasn't just looking at me and what I could do out here in the kingdom. He was looking at the generations that come out of me. He was looking at my children. He was seeing those 8 children that He was going to give to me. He was seeing what He could put in them through me. And He was seeing what He could do through them because of what I deposited in them. Amen? I mean, come, let us reason together, young people. 2 + 2 = 4. And -5 - 5 = 10. And 5 + 10 = 15. Now you had your math lesson for this morning. But do you get the point? I mean, we're not dealing with numbers here this morning. We are dealing with spiritual realities which shall do damage against Satan's kingdom and bring much glory to God. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what God is after. Amen? He's after you, young people. He's after you. Well, sure, He was after me. But He's after you even much more. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 16 through 18, we find these words. Peter, quoting out of the book of Joel, says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." It sounds to me like God has something that He wants you to do, young people. In that He's made these beautiful promises which, whether you can grasp it or not this morning, these promises rest upon you. They rest upon you. "I will pour out of my Spirit in the last days upon your sons and your daughters, and they shall prophesy." Prophesy. Speak forth the mind and will of God in the power of the Holy Spirit to a world around them and a church among them. "Your sons and your daughters, I will pour out my Spirit upon them, and they will prophesy." That's you, young people. That's you. You fives. You fours. You threes. That's you. "I will pour out of my Spirit upon your sons and your daughters in the last days, and they shall prophesy." Beautiful portion of Scripture. It sounds to me and it looks to me like God has something that He wants you to do. And if you ask me, it looks pretty exciting. Anybody want to get on board? God is after you, young people. The verse there in 2 Timothy, part of that holy calling which He purposed in Christ Jesus before the world began, was for us first generation Christians, is for us to turn around and turn what we got from God loose on you. That was part of what God purposed in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now I know those are very lofty thoughts and they seem far, far away, but could you just this morning, though you may not be able to grasp it all and understand it all, just know that it's very, very high, but it's also very, very practical. And it has to do with you and God and His kingdom for such a time as this. It has to do with that. God is after you, young people. It was more, dear young people, than just your concerned mom and dad. God was driving them to change. God was driving them to reformation. God was driving them, even some of them, to salvation. Because I've heard many a testimony from parents just like yours who said they got a burden for their children. They started turning toward those children and eventually they realized, I'm not even born again. How can I raise this family right? I'm not even born again. So some of them, you brought salvation to their hearts and their lives. But it wasn't just your mom and dad concerned to prepare a nice little life for you. God was behind it. Because God was after you. And it's 2008 and you're sitting here today. And God is still after you. In the Old Testament, the firstborn, God said of the firstborn, they're mine. God said that to Moses, and Moses said it to the children of Israel, and God said it to Moses and the children of Israel during that time when he delivered all the firstborn there in Egypt. God said to Moses, all the firstborn sons are mine, God said. All the firstborn sons are mine. That's the Old Testament. You know how it is in the New Testament? All your sons and all your daughters, saith God, are mine. Isn't that beautiful? God, the God of the universe, wants to possess you, young people. He wants to possess you. Are you ready for that? In the Old Testament, the Levites became stand-ins for all the firstborn sons. But in the New Testament, all of the children are the Lord's. All of God's people are priests unto God. And so God says in the New Testament, all the children are mine. God says, you are mine. This is why many of your parents dedicated you to the Lord. Now, they may not have done it exactly the way that I described to you yesterday, but I'm pretty sure that most of your parents dedicated you to the Lord. And when they did that, God was there watching that day. God was listening that day. God had an interest in each one of you. Surely you have seen His hand clearly upon you through the years, have you not? How many of you would acknowledge that? You have seen God's hand upon you. That mysterious things happen in your life. That this happened, then this. And maybe there was a word. Or that time you laid upon your bed and you couldn't sleep at night. God was there that day when your father and your mother dedicated you to God. He was listening. He heard their prayer and He took it seriously and He took you into His heart. God is after you, young people. He's after you. Consider with me this morning some of the promises. The promises which rest upon you even as you're here today, and you know, you may not want to hear all these promises. It depends on where you're at as you're sitting here, you know, and I know how it is at Bible school. You know, not every one of you are excited about all of God's claims on your life. But consider the promises which rest upon you even as you sit here this morning. We looked at the one there, I believe it was on Monday there in Psalm 112, where God said that that man who fears the Lord and loves Him, his seed shall be a mighty influence upon the earth. Now that's a prophecy. That is a prophetic promise, which is a prophecy. And if God stands true to that promise, He's been after you since you were a small child, and His goal is that you would be a mighty influence upon the earth. Praise God! Amen? She said, wait a minute. I'll be a Christian, but that's a bit too much for me. I'm sorry. But that promise, that prophetic promise, has been upon you. And God is moving. You know, it's nice to know where God's going sometimes. You know what I'm saying? It's nice to know. You don't drag your feet so much when you begin to realize where God is actually going with your life. And sometimes we drag our feet, you know, and sometimes we don't realize what God is really after, and sometimes we don't appreciate what God is after, and I understand all those things. You know, you're young, and God's working in your hearts and your lives, but I just want you to know this morning what God is after. He wants to make you a mighty influence in the earth. Are you ready for that? Turn with me to Isaiah 61. You know that famous chapter, Isaiah 61? That's the chapter there. The beginning of the chapter is the very words that the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, when He went back to His synagogue there in Nazareth and stood up for the reading of the Scripture, He turned here to Isaiah chapter 61 and read these very verses, which were a prophecy of the ministry that would flow out of the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the first few verses there are speaking about first generation Christians. In the beginning of the chapter, He talks about those that are brokenhearted, and He talks about the captives, and He talks about prisons being opened, and He talks about beauty for ashes, and He finishes by calling these first generation ones who are in captivity and are bound, and their lives are full of ashes and all kinds of trouble and turmoil. He finishes by saying, He calls them the trees of righteousness and the planting of the Lord. See? Now, if I could just illustrate that, you know, that's me. You know, that's what God did for me. I was in a prison house. I was behind bars. Yes. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose up and followed Thee. That's what I did. But a little further in the chapter, this chapter, Isaiah, chapter 61, in verse 9, it speaks about the second generation of those trees of righteousness who were bound in chains in a prison house somewhere. Look what it says in verse 9 about you. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles. And their offspring among the people. All that see them, their seed, their offspring, shall acknowledge them that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. That's you, young people. That's my children. And their seed shall be known among the Gentiles. And all the people will see the blessed fruit of those first generation Christians who start out at 4 or 5 instead of -5. And they will look at them and say, this is the seed which the Lord hath blessed. Young people, that prophetic promise is upon you. You can't get away from it. It is upon you. Yes, you can spit in God's face. Yes, you can spurn all that God is doing. Yes, you can throw away everything that God has given you through your parents. Yes, you can do that. But other than that, that promise rests upon you even as you sit here today. Isn't that exciting? I mean, God's been after you since you were like this. He's been after you. Son, daughter, He's been after you. And look at that. I mean, that verse, that's a powerful missionary verse. Amen, Brother Tanner? That's a powerful missionary verse. Isaiah 44. Let's turn there. I want you to help me a little bit on this one. See if we can do this. As we're looking at this text and the illustration of this text, I want to use you young people. So when I call out the first letter of your last name, I want you just to stand to your feet and stay there. We may not get to Z, but that doesn't matter. That's not the point. When I call out your name, the first letter of your name, if your last name is Adams, and I say A, I want you to stand to your feet and just stay there. And on down the line, we'll see how far we get. Amen? Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3 and 4 is where we want to read. God says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. A. And they, thine offspring, B. Thine offspring shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourse. See, look what God says there. They, your offspring, because I pour out my spirit upon them, they, D, they shall spring up like willows by the watercourse. Have you ever seen what a willow tree does when you plant it by a watercourse? I mean, if there was ever a weed that is a tree, it's a willow tree. Amen? They grow. I mean, they grow fast. E. But I want us to picture something here, young people. I want us to see the picture of what God is saying. The picture here is that of a dry and a thirsty land. F. And dry and thirsty people. We have the picture of a great need. And that's the way God moves and that's the way God works. When there is a great need, God begins to work. Amen? FG. I forgot where I'm at in the alphabet. But God says, and I see your parents in this verse. I see your parents as those thirsty people dwelling in a dry and a thirsty land. I see your parents crying out to God and saying, God, there's got to be more than this. H, I, there's got to be more than this. And God says, yes, there is. And God began to hear the cries of your parents. J, K, He heard the cries of your parents. And God began to move upon your parents and hear their cry. And He began to give water to them. And as He gave water to them, He also said, I promise to also pour out my spirit upon your children. And the effect that it will have upon your children is they shall spring up like willow trees planted by the watercourse. And I don't know if you realize it, young people, but you are the living reality of these verses even as you sit here today. You sit here with a desire for God. You sit here having been kept pure. You sit here having a pure mind. You sit here having dreams and visions of what God wants you to do for your life. I'm telling you, you are the answer to this very verse right here. You are willow trees that have been planted in a very good and a healthy place. And you have sprung up here and you've sprung up there. And I'm telling you, young people, God has something that He wants you to do. He's not wasting His time. God doesn't waste His time. Amen? Just a couple of pages in Isaiah. Listen to what God says in Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 17. He says this, "When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none." Got it? "And their tongue faileth for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness cedar and shita tree and myrtle trees and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine tree and the box tree together. And why will I do it, says God? That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this and the Holy One of Israel hath created it." Young people, you're sitting here today. The hand of the Lord hath done this and the God, the Holy God of Israel hath created this that we have even here today. You may be seated. I think the illustration is very clear, isn't it? What God is doing. And God is doing it. And God is doing it because there was a need. And that's the way God is. When there's a need, God responds. When there's a need, God moves. When there's a cry deep down in somebody's heart, God begins to act. And don't forget that. Because it'll also apply to you in the days ahead. But you are the very answer to verses like this. That's why you're sitting here today. Do you see, young people, the strategic place that you stand in this very day? Do you see what God is doing? He's planting those myrtle trees and those fir trees and those box trees and those olive trees. He's planting those trees. And dear people, He's not just talking about trees. He's talking about trees of righteousness that a world can look on and say, "The Lord hath done this." Hallelujah. Some might say, "Oh, well, they're just children. Don't put such a heavy load upon them." No, you're not children. You're men and you're women. You may not be as old as you could be, but you're not children anymore. You are men and you are women. And the call of God is upon you. And the promise of God is resting upon you. And the plan of God is in your heart. And you must reckon with those beautiful, beautiful opportunities which God will give to you. Church history. Oh, thank God for church history. Thank God for men and women who wrote it down that we could look back and read it and acknowledge. But church history would say how many times God has shaken the church in revival through youth. Through the young people. You just heard about it last night in the Welsh revival. Oh yes, it spread all over Wales. 100,000 souls came through to the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you realize that it was a bunch of young people just like you that are sitting here today that spurred that revival? And it was a young man, Evan Roberts, 26 years old, which by the way, he prayed for revival in Wales from the age of 13 until the age of 26. He spent a couple of hours every day. He never missed a prayer meeting in 13 years. That young boy was burdened. He was a planting of the Lord. He was a second generation Christian. He was a young boy that God had a plan on his life, and God had a call on his life. And he began to hear the voice of God at the age of 13. And he heard the voice of God burdened about revival in Wales and the deadness in the churches and the great need and the dry land and all those things. And he began to pray for God to send revival to Wales. One 13-year-old boy. I don't want to say that it all happened because of him. There were many others that were praying. But it's very interesting that that 13-year-old boy who prayed like that for 13 years, God put His hand upon him and used him mightily in that revival. Rise up, O men and women of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings. Amen. Oh, that God would somehow pull back the veils that separates us. You know, that makes us so much responding just to this world around us. That God would pull back the veil and help us to see what is in His heart. What the burden of the Lord is. What His mind is. What His purposes are. What His call is upon each one of our lives. Oh, that God would somehow pull back the veil. And help us to see. Turn over to Isaiah 59. You know, it's very interesting to me, and I guess nobody can say this like me, but I preached all these verses to your moms and dads. And isn't it interesting how well they preach to the next generation at the same time? Why? Because it's the heart of God. That God, when God went after your mom and dad, He also had you in mind. And here you are. Welcome to the kingdom. Isaiah 59. We'll start reading in verse 19b. And we're going to skip the 6-0 there, because it's just the chapter number. And just keep flowing down to verse 3 of the next chapter. Verse 19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, then the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him and drive him away. I added that in there. But the margin of my Bible says, put him to flight. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, then the Spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard and put the enemy to flight. How? The Redeemer shall come to Zion and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. That's the first generation. To them that turn from their transgressions in Zion. The Redeemer comes to those who turn from their transgressions. Amen. Let's go a little bit further. As for me, says God, this is my covenant with them who turn from their transgressions. Your mom, your dad. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. You see what God is saying there and what God is doing there? Do you see how God is raising up a standard against the enemy? Do you see how He does it? He does it with you. And oh, by the way, the children that come from your marriages. He does it with you. Arise, the next verse says, shine, O people of God, O young people, so blessed. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Remember, we're still raising up a standard that will put the enemy to flight. And oh, young people, you are that standard. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and His glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Do you see the battle? Do you see the battle, young people? Do you see how God engages the enemy? This isn't just some super mysterious battle that goes on in the heavens. No, these spiritual battles that are taking place, they also have to do with you and I. It's a real war for you and I. And the enemy has come in like a flood. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, God rises up immediately to raise up a standard against that enemy and put the enemy to flight. And guess what kind of a standard He raises up? He reaches out and touches the hearts of those that are lost, those that are bound, those who have lost their way. He puts His hand upon them. He puts His Spirit upon them. But not only upon them. He puts His hand and His Spirit and His Word into the hearts and the lives of the next generation and the next generation. I'll tell you what, that puts the enemy to flight like nothing else could ever do. May God open our eyes and help us to realize where we are, where we are standing, young people. Where you stand today, it's 2008, it's October, you're 16 years old, you're 17, you're 18, 20, 22, 23, I don't know. But I'm telling you, there's a war going on. A war. I'll let you illustrate again this text, okay? This time, this is what I want you to do. I'm going to raise my hands. When I raise my hands like this, I want you to stand to your feet, all of you. And I don't want you to stand casually. I want you to jump up like the general just said, attention! You got it? You ready? Put your Bibles down for a minute. I want you to see what God is saying in this verse. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Do you see it, young people? Do you see who you are? Dear God, open our eyes. Open our eyes. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against the enemy. You are that standard. And so am I. Bless God. And I'm glad that I get to fight in this war. How about you? You may be seated. Young people, I know that this doesn't happen overnight. We kind of just popped you up there real fast. It doesn't happen overnight. But if you study church history again, you'll see this happening over and over and over again. And here we are. Now it's our turn. Blessed be God. We get our chance. I want you to see that this is happening, or it's trying to happen among us. It's trying to happen. The Spirit of God is brooding over us. The Spirit of God is trying to make this happen. I want you to look behind the scenes, young people. Look behind the scenes. I want you to look past your parents this morning. I want you to look past your ministers and see God. Because that's who's there. This is not about your mom and dad. This is not about your ministers, young people. This is about God. God. The only true and living God. It's about Him. And you're here. Oh, young people, do you realize why you are here? For such a time as this, each one of you has come to the kingdom. Just like David, who reflected on his heritage with a grateful heart and rose up by the grace of God to do the will of God and serve his generation, God is calling you to do the same thing. To rise up, reflect upon your heritage with a grateful heart, and rise up and say, what in the world God want me to do? And I mean it just that way, literally. What in this world does God want me to do? And serve your generation. God is calling each one of you to do the same thing. Oh, to awaken to His plan and His purpose for your life. God said to Jeremiah when he was a young man, and he said, I'm just a child. That was his argument he gave back to God. But God called him when he was a young man. I wish I knew how old, but I couldn't find it. It must not be in the Bible. Maybe God didn't want the exact age so that we wouldn't lock it in. Amen? But rather that we would just tune the ears of our heart to begin to hear the voice of God calling us. But God said to Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, or I set thee apart for the purpose that I have for your life, Jeremiah. God must have said the same thing to the Apostle Paul, because he said these words in Galatians chapter 1, it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me to preach the gospel. Now let me ask you a question. Is that just Jeremiah that was set apart at the mother's womb? Is it just Paul who's set apart at his mother's womb? Or is it not also you, each one of you, each one of you young men, each one of you young ladies, have you also not been set apart at your mother's womb? I believe you have. God made you, the Bible says, you were fearfully and wonderfully made. He planned out before you were even formed in your mother's belly who you would be, what you would look like, what color hair you would have, the color of your eyes, the size of your body, how tall you were, how short you are, all those things. He created you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And dear brothers and sisters, God, the Almighty God, the omniscient, all-powerful God who knows everything, He don't make nothing for nothing. He doesn't waste His time on anything. Oh, dear young people, He made you. He made you. He brought you forth into this world in a home where there was a God-fearing mother and father. He put you there. You could have been born anywhere else. God put you there, and He put you there that your parents might put into you things that He wants you to have, because He's got a plan for your life. I don't know how that sets with you, but that's stirring to me. That's exciting. Like these men and many others, I have seen when a man or a woman gets clearly and thoroughly, rightly related to God, they immediately begin to sense the higher purposes that are set upon their life. It's just that way. And I'm telling you, you give yourself away. Even as you sit here today, if you're fooling around, if you're just relaxing in life, if you're at ease in Mount Zion, if you just go along for the ride, and there's no purpose in your life, and there's no direction in your life, and there are some in this room that way, you give yourself away. You can talk about being a Christian all you want. If you don't ever hear the voice of the God who called you and saved your soul, I wonder whether you're a Christian. You might have prayed a prayer. You might have been sincere. You might have cried some tears. But you're not hearing the voice of God. Because God saves us and calls us with a holy calling and a purpose for our life, which He purposed in Christ Jesus way before the world began. And I'm telling you, give yourself away. If life is just a game, you're not hearing the voice of God. You're just going through the motions. You're just saying all the things you learned to say. It makes sense, doesn't it, that when we get in tune with the God who made us, that we would begin to hear and sense, whoa, God has something for me to do. I mean, look at Paul. What will Thou have me to do, Lord? We begin to hear the voice of God. This is what has driven my own life for 36 years, and it does to this day. I was gripped those 36 years ago with a purpose. I didn't understand it all. And I stumbled around back there. And I'm not a good example to follow because I've stumbled around a lot. I acknowledge that. But somehow, when I got born again back there 36 years ago, somehow I knew. There is a reason why I'm alive. God has saved my soul. And I have found what all the rest of humanity needs. God. That's what all of humanity needs. God. Real simple, amen? Do you have a purpose? Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not rebuking you, I'm calling you out. I'm calling. That's all. I'm just a voice calling. Calling you. A young man, a young lady without a purpose is miserable. If you're without a purpose, you fritter your life away. If you don't have a purpose, you're unfulfilled. Ah, blessed is that young person who senses a divine purpose on their life. And I wonder, how many of you sitting here today, your parents told you from the time you were little, God has a purpose for your life. Let me see your hand. How many of your parents told you that? Keep them up just a minute. Your parents told you that. You heard those words. They were telling you the truth. But I'm here to tell you, young people, isn't it about time that the day of reckoning comes? That we come in tune with this God who has a purpose and a call in our life? Young people without a purpose are bored. Are you bored? Do you sit around in the evenings and say, there's nothing to do. What should we do? Call their friend. What are you doing tonight? Let's go hang out together. Oh, what disgusting language. I hope you don't use that kind of language. I'm serious. Let's go hang out together. Oh, that's cool. That's not cool. That's sick. It's sick. But a young person who doesn't have a purpose, you give yourself away. You're just wasting, you're frittering your life. And God, the eternal God, has a purpose for your life. And much investment has already been made. A young person who doesn't have a purpose is restless and unsettled. nothing to live for. Easily tossed this way and that way. Lacks direction. No goals. No plans. They tend to get off on this and off on that. The next fad, this and that. And, you know. Imagine. You're going to stand before the throne of God someday and answer for all the hours that you did this. I can't even do it. My thumbs lock up. But they do it pretty fast. I know. I've seen them. I mean, they do that with those two thumbs so fast it amazes me. But you know what? A man or a woman who has a purpose. I mean, they know where they're going. They've got things to do, places to go, people to see, books to read, hours to study, all dreams to dream. I mean, you can tell the difference real fast. Amen? And I'm just going to leave you right there. I guess we'll just get the rest of it later. Because I promised Brother Mark I'll stop at 11:30. Let us stand for prayer. Lord, how we do praise You and thank You, God, that You will hold these young people like You have for all these years. You will hold them. You will hold them and take them where You want them to go. Lord, I pray that You take this which has been deposited in their hearts this morning and cause it to shake them and wake them and stir them and inspire them and encourage them, dear God, depending on where they're at. I trust You, Father, to do this. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.